In this episode of Bear Podcast,
gay rape,
Hellblazer or Constantine,
all the single furries should put a collar on it,
hoverboards are real,
and why I cut off my dick and balls.
All this and more coming up next.
Bear Podcast 540.
Hey, all you bears!
He's texting to bump into Big Hairy Man.
So scientists may have finally solved the puzzle of what makes a person gay.
Well, I'm not taking you to get something to scrub there, fix it for you.
Can I do the podcast in my underwear?
Gay, the geek, and the bizarre.
It's one of those things that is fun and cute while it lasts.
Two glasses of wine.
He's a lightweight, so it don't take much.
You're listening to BearPodcast.com.
Okay, fine. You really have to. Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I am Ray.
Yes, welcome to episode 540, and it's October 21st, Tuesday. And it's
almost Halloween.
It's almost Halloween. Yeah. And
happy Halloweeny.
Okay, if you guys are watching the video right now, you'll see some people in costume right now.
Because, you know, in Houston, we celebrate Halloween all month long.
Not really. No, we don't. Or do you? Anyway, so...
Unlike the department stores, which already got the Christmas shit out.
Yeah, it's even way before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, if you ain't got your Halloween decorations by now, you can pretty much forget it.
Mm-hmm.
Walmart was about out the other day.
Yeah. Anyway, so last weekend, what was your costume? What was this ball anyway?
What? I was a vampire.
You were a vampire? I can't tell with the blurry picture you guys posted.
Well,
on
it was
Facebook.
Taken inside of Kryptonite, so it was fur. Well, didn't you see the pics I put on Facebook of me in my costume that were?
Yeah, I did. It's somewhere here.
No, they're not. My pics are not on Facebook. My pic from Facebook is not on here.
Oh, not this one. This is not a costume.
No,
we'll explain that later. But yeah.
Yeah, much later.
Very soon, I guess. But anyway, so I have pictures here from last weekend's. Halloween ball, is that what you call it? At Kryptonite,
yeah. I've never even heard of it before until this year when somebody. Yeah, see?
You're a vampire? How could you be a vampire?
I got my cape on. I didn't have my teeth in.
Oh, that's why. That could have been more convincing.
Because I had like these fangs that poked out down here. See, if you'd got the picture off Facebook with the fangs, you'd have known. Either way.
Well, that's the one you're...
I made that hot-ass costume look good.
So you got tired of the alpha bear that you did before. So what
well,
what
if you notice, Robbie has some of the alpha bear costume on.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, because he went as a Mexican wrestler.
Oh, okay.
So, there's Rob.
Yeah, I wish I'd have gone. But no, I didn't get an invite for some reason.
Sorry, man. You're just not that high on the totem pole.
Yep. I'm not A-list enough.
I'm not A-list enough.
I feel so bad. Well, I was out.
Keep working on it, though. I keep trying.
So I did go out somewhere, though. I went to the Eagle and celebrated with the Houston Bears. They did the bear bust there at the Eagle, so it was fun.
And while you were there, I was at the home of the old Eagle.
Oh, that's right.
Kryptonite.
So we were both at the Eagle at different times.
At different times. And the part and the Halloween and the costume ball, the Halloween ball went over to the Eagle after it ended at 10. Mm-hmm. So you should have seen a bunch of, you missed a lot.
Oh yeah, yeah. Actually, I saw what's his name? Will and Travis.
Yeah.
And some people from.
Did you see Chris as Tim Gunn?
Oh yes, yes. Oh, that was Tim Gunn. He was there. It was so funny. It was cute. And then of course. He always has to do it in character.
Yes,
Tim
it's
Gunn.
Full character all night long.
I should have taken a picture of it. But anyway, so yeah, I was there at the Eagle with the Houston Bears, and they was there. I helped them out. They recorded. I was the producer for the Under Bears podcast, so they were...
You just want to sit around watching big boys in their underwear.
Oh, yeah. See, if you're watching the video right now, you're seeing pictures of guys in their underwear. Yeah, I see Mark and Dave. They were doing the Under Bears podcast there at the Eagle, and
they had Paul in there with them. And
Paul and actually Brent was there too, and the other one is Matt.
Matt
came up. Yeah, it was good. So it was. If you have to be in the show, they've been wanting you to go in the show. Don't you want to go?
No,
in
I can't be in the Under Bears. They only wear underwear.
You cannot wear underwear
no.
in public. No.
No.
I've done it once.
No, not anymore. Sure. I'm married. I can't do stuff like that anymore.
Ah, okay. What if you wear underwear, but then you have a cloak? or something. Man. No, doesn't work either. Anyway, so that was last weekend.
And please, there, my naked picture all over Tumblr, apparently, from what I understand. So,
do you have pictures online that are your naked pictures?
Well,
online?
They've been floating around for years because every now and then somebody pokes them and says, "Hey, I saw your picture on Tumblr."
How would they know it's you? With your face is on it?
I don't think so, but I think most of them, enough people see me naked, they recognize it when they see it.
Oh, okay. How would they know? I wonder. So, also last weekend was also softball weekend. So,
yeah.
It's the fall ball. I got to play 3 games. It was good to play. And the theme this time is Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So, I'm in the team Dobby. So, we're free elves. What can I say? Yeah. Pretty exciting, though.
I could make so many rude, mean comments right now, but I will refrain from that. Only because of the announcement of the new Harry Potter short movie is coming out.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's been an exciting weekend for us. And I guess the ball was really fun. Of course, they have drinks and everything. Do they serve food?
No, just food. Just drinks. I don't know if it went to the money got raised and stuff and they gave it to charity or something, but you didn't have to pay anything to get into it. It was by invite, unless people paid for the invites. And then we just got a set of them. But it was a nice deal. Free alcohol, you know, well drinks, stuff like that. And it was at Club Kryptonite. Had a DJ. Everything was really cool. So it was very nice. A little good up. Bunch of people there. The place was packed.
Okay.
I mean, it was like Eagle when it first opened down there and was packed on Sunday night. So except it was a Saturday night and everybody's in costume. So mm-hmm. And there's a lot of ingenious costumes, some very good ones, some very interesting ones. Yeah. So
see, I don't get to do that because every Halloween I am always in New Orleans for Voodoo Fest.
Well, you know, one year you need to not go to Voodoo Fest, man, and stay in town.
Well, there are times that Halloween is not on a weekend.
Yeah.
So that
if it's but all the Halloween the week, parties are usually on a weekend. So
yeah. So we'll see.
And you could have been at parties this weekend, but you're going out of town. So
yeah, I'll be in California.
So if you're in California and the San Francisco Bay Area, invite Mater to your Halloween party this weekend. So he can go. He can show up as a bum or a tourist or something,
or a nudist.
A nudist.
That's easy, right?
Yes.
I can just be a nudist and.
Well, there was one guy at the party. He was this cute little Twinkie boy, and he had on a red jock strap. And he had a chainsaw on a thing around his neck, so it kind of was like there in the place of his dick. And he was, little electric deal thing.
That's his costume.
So that was his costume. And then he had like red blood all over him and stuff. So,
okay.
You know, some people.
Speaking of red blood, did you get to watch Walking Dead?
Yes, I did. You don't say that to entertainment? Let me talk about that then.
Yeah, probably. Well, okay. We'll get there. Anyway, so let's read some articles some topics actually.
Well, there's some topics and these kind of just happened recently, so I put them up here, and it's about rape.
Yeah.
But it's more about, you know, and usually when you think about rape, you think about women being raped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it also happens to men. It's just, my question is, one, are gay men safe from rape? And the answer to that is no, because this article we're going to read here in a little bit takes that away. Not that we know if the kid's gay or not. But how many gay men out there have been raped, but because they're gay and it was a sexual thing, they thought that they deserved it? Or it was just one of those things? I mean, because there's got to be a lot of gay date rape that goes on. People go out partying, getting drunk, and get fucked up, and a lot of gay people do that. And they wake up in the morning and somebody's fucked them and they're like, was it consensual? Was it not?
Yeah, that's true. Well, some people would joke about, hey, this tequila is really strong. And whenever I drink this, my ass hurts all the time in the morning.
Yeah, but I mean, there's got to be cases. I mean, going out and hanging out with gay guys and being, you know, the whole pressure for sex and everything at a young age or old age or whatever. I mean, it has to happen a lot more than it's probably ever reported.
You know, you may have a point there. Somebody's getting raped, but okay, so gay people getting raped. Right. It happens. So,
and like, I think a woman gets raped every 90 seconds in the United States.
Wow.
Or something like that, if I remember correct. I don't forget what the statistic was, but it blows your mind when you think about it.
What would blow my mind if there's a man being raped by women?
That happens. I mean, they're women rape the kids. I mean, look at the teachers that rape the Some of their male
students. Oh, that's statutory rape.
Statutory.
Well, what happens is, if let's say a teacher.
Yes. Here's the deal: if it's not consensual, it's still rape. Statutory is still rape.
So how do they do that?
What?
Well, statutory rape is if it's a minor.
Minor. Yeah.
Yes, and it could be consensual from the kid, but still he's a minor.
Minor.
So it's still
he doesn't own his business. The government does.
So yeah. So
it's not his to give away.
That's right. So that happens a lot.
Ages. Yeah, changes ages between which states you go to. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I've been in some situations where things have gotten kind of iffy.
Really?
Not in my younger days. Not that I got raped or anything, but I could have seen it happening. You know, if I'd have been. If I'd have been drunker or I'd get fucked up on something, that I could have seen it happening.
Being raped, like how? Like a straight rape or a gay rape?
By another man.
By another man.
Yeah.
Okay. So I should. Okay, that's being technical. Okay.
Yeah.
Being technical, being raped by another man. Yeah. Okay. Okay, I could see that. Yeah, I could see that. But do you? I guess when at a young age you cannot really tell that it's being enjoyed or anything. I don't know. Rape is not enjoyable. I don't think so.
Well, rape's usually about control and power over somebody.
Yes, that's true.
So
it's not about the sex, it's about
the power.
The power.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So but if it's not consensual, then it's rape.
Mm-hmm.
So if any of y'all, our listeners, have been raped and you feel like you'd like to share your story, please email the show and talk about it, what you want to talk about. I mean, we're not going to force you. Or you can call the show and leave a voice message. If they're that brave, we'll keep it anonymous. But we'd like to hear. I mean, there has to – it's usually men on women raping.
Yeah, that's the most common.
For the most common. But men on men's got to happen too. I mean, I've fooled around a lot of guys, mainly Hispanic, who were molested, which is basically rape, by their older uncles or brothers and stuff.
The creepy uncles, yeah.
And that was pretty common and just got hushed and nobody talked about it. So that's still a form of rape.
Yeah, it
so
is.
It's
yeah.
not consensual. So so let us know. And we're going to move into the article that brought all this up was a 15-year-old Kentucky boy gang raped by 5 men in a videotaped assault.
So they're really stupid that they even videotaped it.
I feel very bad for this 15-year-old kid. You know, because this is going to fuck him up for a while, I think.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
5 suspects have been arrested in the brutal gang rape of a 15-year-old boy in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, that left the victim with a punctured colon and injured bladder.
Oh.
The attack happened at a house party on October 12th and was captured on video, then shared via Snapchat. Authorities are not yet sure if the footage was also shared online. Sam Miller, who's 18, Dayton Ross Jones, 20, and Tyler Reese Perry, 19, along with 2 other young men, both age 17, so they're not legal yet. They're still minors. Have all been arrested and charged with connection with the rape that left the unnamed victim in critical condition and rocked the small town of Hopkinsville. Miller's the most recent person to be arrested. He's been charged with sodomy in first degree, promoting a minor in a sex performance, use of a minor in a sex performance, distribution of minor portraying a sexual performance by a minor, and his bond has been set at $1 million.
Wait a second.
So basically these guys, the ones that did this are all kids themselves. I mean, they're 18, 19, 20, it's the oldest.
And they're all arrested, I guess.
So they're all in jail now and have fucked up their lives forever.
Oh, yeah. So
now they're on the arrest. They're going to always have to be registered as sexual offenders.
That's true, yes.
And this is some shit that's going to follow them for the rest of their life.
And plus the victim also.
Yes.
Is going to be traumatized.
And it's a small town. So
it's a small town. These guys are going to leave town and register somewhere else.
Yeah, but.
So, you know, so I guess in Kentucky, sodomy is still illegal.
Well, if you're underage, it's still sodomy.
Well, that's true. It's just that sodomy in general, because the charge.
I mean, consenting adults. I don't know if there's laws in the book still about it being between consenting adults, but if you're underage, it's sodomy.
They go under sodomy, not because
if it's male and male sex, it's sodomy, regardless.
But if it's underage, it should be statutory rape. Oh, statutory rape is for straight.
No.
No, it's not even.
So, okay. I mean, it all depends on how they've done, what the laws are, and each state's different. So,
okay.
So apparently, I don't know, they consider it statutory rape, but it's considered sodomy there.
Okay.
Which is defines it between sex between two men. So,
mm-hmm. Although women, I mean, guys and girls do that too.
Mm-hmm. So,
oh, yeah.
Police have not released many details about the incident or a possible motive, but they did say the victim knew his attackers. We haven't earned under. Yeah. Well, I mean, the 15-year-old kid was at a party.
Yeah.
So.
He got gang raped.
Yeah. We haven't uncovered any kind of premeditated plans, Christian County Sheriff's Department Chris Miller told media. The 15-year-old spent several days in intensive care at a Gateway Medical Center in Clarksville, Tennessee, before returning home on Sunday. He's expected to make a full recovery. Authorities say that they are still interviewing people and that more arrests are possible.
What? There's more than those kids?
So, I mean, here's it's going to be interesting, hopefully, but you know what? The whole reason I knew about this is because it popped up on Queerty.
Okay.
On Facebook. No other news media in America had covered it except for one or two, and I had to search for it. And what actually caught my eye with it was printed in some British papers in Ireland.
What?
Had covered it.
Nobody in the U.S. media would cover it.
Has covered it.
Or
picked up on it or anything.
Wow.
So
you don't want the, 15-year-old.
So it's interesting that how media is portraying it. A guy gets raped, a male gets raped, and people don't talk about it. If a female gets raped, there's usually some media hype, but especially if it was a gang rape thing like this.
Yeah.
Because remember here when the 14-year-old girl got gang raped here in Houston? They talked about that for weeks.
Yeah. And some people are probably proud of it.
So,
or I don't know.
So, my prayers go out to the kid, and I hope he's better. And it's also, we'll probably never know exactly what happened, but is the kid gay? Or did he get drunk and pass out, or did they give him drugs and just rape him? I mean, what happened?
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to say, but
it's possible that he's not really.
Either way, really it gay. Shouldn't have happened.
Yeah. I mean,
and then this
you can say kids will be kids, but that's way too much.
That's, when I was a kid, me and other kids my age used to fool around and do stuff. I mean, I think that's normal.
Yeah, it's normal. I did that too.
But and some of it involved alcohol. We got drunk and fool around with each other, because we're all straight back then. Mm-hmm. But still, I mean, at some point you got to look at other people and say, hey, this person's not mature enough to handle some of this.
Oh, yeah. Well, for one thing, they're not mature themselves. So yeah. How could they can't even tell. That's the point.
Yeah, but that's the thing, that at a certain age, you're a legal adult in the United States at the age of 18.
It's also because of probably education.
Yeah.
They didn't have proper education. That could happen also. Yeah.
So
let's move on to the next one. It's another gay story.
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay, it's the police. Ex-gay Kentucky pastor rapes boy. He's not raping. So he threatens to kill him with the warlock powers. It should have been.
So this is another Kentucky thing that happened not too long ago.
What is it with Kentucky?
So what's up with people, if you're from Kentucky and you listen to the show, let us know what the fuck's going on with the gay rape in Kentucky, because that's where it's hitting at. So.
Oh, yeah, they posted the picture. Oh, he's kind of a bearish guy. He's a 30-year-old Kentucky man who claimed to be a youth pastor. Oh, he was even lying, I guess. He was not a youth pastor. He just lied. He's facing charges that sexually abused a 16-year-old boy and then threatened to kill him with his witchcraft if he told anyone.
So he's a youth pastor at a church, but he's a warlock.
No. He's lying. I mean, he claimed to be one. Yeah. So the Commonwealth Journal reported that a 16-year-old male told Eubank police investigators that Pollyann Church of God youth pastor Rex Allen Murphy made sexual contact with him. The abuse allegedly happened at the church and at the suspect's home for a period of at least 6 months. So it's been ongoing.
Yeah.
So it's somewhat consensual, but of course it's a minor, so it's...
Well, it's not necessarily consensual. I mean, at that age, some people don't have the facilities to understand that what's right and wrong.
Oh, because it was a power. If you tell someone, then okay. So Eubank Chief of Police Colin Hatfield called the accusations very graphic and to the point. Wow. Must be interesting to hear about that. So the victim, stated that the suspect told him on numerous occasions that by brushing his skin or shaking his hand, he could tell his sins by the power he has. He comes from a family of warlocks. So, wow, that's really delusional.
Okay, especially if he's at a Church of God and talking about warlocks.
I know.
So they can burn his ass at stake.
Yeah. So the police chief noted that Murphy had threatened the boy with witchcraft if he told his parents about the abuse. He was very scared because the suspect, in the victim's eyes, had been threatening his life in the form of Wicca, witchcraft, black magic. So what happened to this guy now? So I guess he was arrested on Monday on charges of first-degree sexual abuse, yeah. use of a minor under 18 in sexual performance, and third-degree sodomy. This is in Kentucky again, right?
Yep.
Wow. It's really, really scary. So there's even a video on the link that we're going to post on the website. So it's a 30-year-old guy raping a 16-year-old, more than about half his age.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Another rape story in Kentucky.
So
that's why Mike left. Mike used to work in Kentucky, and he was there for what, 4 or 5 years, I think, and he left. He didn't like Kentucky. He hated Kentucky for some reason.
Well, it's very conservative.
I guess it is. As for me, it's one of the destinations I have to go to also, yeah. Because
it also has that kind of stigma of being backwoods.
Yeah.
Redneck, ignorant.
So I should be afraid since I'm very Asian. Afraid.
You might get raped.
I might get raped.
Not to be joking about this stuff, but
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, or you might get drugged behind a car somewhere like
that.
Oh, they did.
No.
So, but anyway, let us know what you think. I mean, this can't just happen in Kentucky.
It's got to be somewhere else.
And I'm sure here in Houston, every day a guy gets raped and doesn't go reported because the shame, the guilt, the sexual abuse by a family member, peer,
mm-hmm.
friends of the family,
yep.
whatever. So, and a lot of kids that age who are gay or have issues go out and seek sex with other people because they think it will feel do something for them. And from talking to one of those people, I know that it is still rape, even though they sought it out.
Yeah.
Because they're not old enough and mature enough to make the kind of rational decisions. And that's where an adult, who apparently can't make the right decisions either, takes advantage of that.
Yeah, that's true. Some adults sort of take advantage.
Yeah.
All right. What's next, Ray?
On to entertainment.
Let's go to entertainment.
Okay. Entertainment today is all about Constantine.
Okay.
Which premieres Friday night, so set your VCRs, your DVD players. Well, I mean, not DVD, your DVRs.
VCR? Well, what is this, 1980?
Well, we got 19... some older listeners, so set your VCR. So. But Constantine, which is a movie that Keanu Reeves did a couple years ago, is based on Hellblazer, which is a DC comic franchise.
Oh, okay, Hellblazer. Constantine is a character in Hellblazer.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but then they just call him, okay.
So, but I'm giving you this is kind of the full spiel on what you're missing to bring you up to speed. So when Constantine premieres Friday, you'll kind of have a background and know if you're interested in the sci-fi, supernatural.
You can read this whole thing.
It won't take long.
Okay.
He's the Hellblazer, DC Comics occult detective and magician, John Constantine. He's been a key player in the supernatural world of DC and Vertigo for almost 30 years now. So Constantine's been around for 30 years.
He's got to be old now.
So, and now he's finally getting his own show on NBC, although he's not bisexual on the TV show.
Oh, that's right. I remember he's supposed to be bisexual.
Yeah. So let's take a look back at the strange history of Constantine, both in the DC universe and without. Here's everything you need to know about Constantine. John that's Constantine wrong, was grandma. Created by legendary writer Alan Moore and author Steve Bissett and John Toliban, making his first appearance in the Saga of the Swamp Thing in issue number 37 in June of 1985, which was in the height of my collecting comics.
Me
but
too.
I 85. Didn't collect Swamp Thing.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't. So here's where you kind of fill in on this, Maynard. The whole character of Constantine is inspired by one of your favorite rock stars.
Who?
Sting.
Sting?
Yes. According really? To Moore, Constantine's design was actually inspired by Sting because Bissonette and Toliban always would want to draw a character who looked like a pop star. So they picked Sting, and Constantine kind of looks like him.
Oh, in the comic books, it looks interesting. But yeah. Then when Keanu Reeves came in, he didn't.
He didn't do that.
It doesn't look like him at all.
So Moore has also said that he wanted to portray his mystical character in a new and different way. Whereas wizards had frequently been depicted as old proper types, he wanted someone much more blue-collar and streetwise. In the beginning, Constantine was an important, if supporting, character in the Swamp Thing tale called American Gothic, where he served as a consultant for Old Swampy. But the character was popular with readers, and so he got his own comic in 1988, titled Hellblazer, initially written by Jamie Delano. That book was labeled as a mature reader's title, and in fact, when DC's Vertigo launched in 1993, Hellblazer switched over to that imprint. It made sense, as Constantine clearly lent himself to more adult stories. He was never as cut and dry as a typical superhero or even a typical hero. Though he ultimately did the right thing most of the time, his motivations weren't always altruistic. In fact, Constantine's often been portrayed as a selfish and kind of a jerk, and he's had the unfortunate track record of frequently getting those around him killed. His stories have ranged from the fantastic to the horrific, with so-called Hellblazer often employing his magic detective skills and con man talents, or a mix of all three, to get to the bottom of his supernatural cases.
So it's like Dresden Files.
Kinda.
It's kind of a Dresden
Files thing. Type thing. So.
Oh,
Constantine article. Was born in Liverpool, though his mother died during childbirth, and it was only after he had murdered his own twin in the womb, so he killed his own child, his own brother in the womb. Yes.
That's crazy.
So
his how did he just strangled him?
I guess so. I don't know. I can't remember. It was a long time ago. And from a young age, John began to school himself in the occult. One of his first spells to rid himself of his childhood innocence. He hid it in a box.
He hid this innocence in a box.
Eventually put a curse on his old man, nearly killing him, before backing out at the last minute. But once he did die, Constantine Sr.'s ghost would come back to haunt John, as with many of his dead friends and lovers over the years. What's interesting about the character, too, is the fact that the run of Hellblazer from 1988 to 2013, he more or less aged in real time. This, of course, differentiates him from guys like Superman or Batman,
who are eternally
30 years old. And such, Constantine's rich history is specifically rooted in the past. For example, when he first saw the Sex Pistols perform in 1977, he was inspired to form his own punk rock band, the apparently awful Mucous Membrane. What a great name that
nice
was.
Nice name. I like the name. The band.
Aging the character like this also allowed the writers of Hellblazer to confront the real world around Constantine as much as they did the supernatural and horrifying. Of course, sometimes the real world is pretty horrifying even when there's no supernatural involved. And what proved to be a pivotal moment in the young Constantine's life, one of his earliest confrontations with Underworld came in Newcastle, England, joined by his bandmates and some fellow occultists. Constantine attempted to save a young girl who had summoned a demon. See, don't do that shit. She's a white girl. John called forth another demon to defeat this one, but unfortunately he botched the job and inadvertently consigned the girl to hell. Well, she's screwed. He and his crew were emotionally scarred by this tragic turn, and afterwards Constantine was blamed for the girl's death and committed to an asylum. The demon he had summoned was called Nurgle, a creature that would go on to become one of his greatest foes. And in fact, this storyline is the inspiration for the first episode of the new TV show.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, so this is where it kind of picks up with him. Speaking of which, that other live-action version of the character, the Keanu Reeves movie, also took its cue in part from a classic Hellblazer storyline. The Dangerous Havocs. Comic art by writer Garth Ennis saw John diagnosed with lung cancer.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
His attempts to trick his way to a cure and avoid internal damnation in hell as well.
Yeah, that's the premise of Constantine with Keanu Reeves. That he has lung cancer.
Mm-hmm. Writer Brian Azzarello's run on Hellblazer saw John wandering the U.S. where he had to deal with porn dealers and white supremacists, among other despicable matters. And then there was the crazy day in the life for Constantine where he traded a day with the demon Roscarinus, a day in which went on almost forever and included him becoming the father to three kids who went on to try and murder his friends and family. Nice. So So that's it. So almost 30 years of history behind him, Constantine is certainly ripe for adaptation on the small screen. We can't wait to see what comes of it. So with this, DC's got all kind of stories on TV now. They got Gotham, they got The Flash, they got the Arrow, they got Constantine.
Oh, they finished, of course, Smallville. Or
Smallville wasn't part of the DC thing.
Oh, it was CW.
Well, it was a spinoff of something else, but DC didn't. It was a weird deal with that. That's why Superman never flew on that show.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Except in the end.
And there's another one I'm trying to think that's out there.
Batman?
No, Batman's not out there. There's not a Batman TV show.
Oh, there's none?
Currently on TV, no.
Wonder Woman? Way back then.
No, we're talking about right now. There's that's a whole bunch of stuff. And last week with the announcement of all the movies that are coming out from DC in the next 5-6 years, pretty intense. So If you're Constantine readers and follow the comic book along, let us know what you think about the character. And after you watch the show on Friday night, let us know what you think about the show.
I'll be honest. I've only just seen Constantine, you know, with, what's his name? The Keanu Reeves. That's the only Constantine I know. And it was a good premise about him having powers. So, what's his power really?
He deals in the occult.
He deals in the occult.
He's kind of like a detective. He's like a private eye detective. He deals in the occult, and he's kind of a dick and does his own shit that he wants to do. So
okay. So it's kind of random.
Yeah.
Random. It's
like, and he's basically trying to keep his own ass out of hell is what he tries to do. So
yeah. What was it again that he was about to die, but then
he had in the Keanu Reeves movie, he was dying. And at the end of the movie, the angel saved him because of he stopped whatever shit was supposed to be from happening.
Yeah.
So he got a reprieve.
So yeah, they cured him of his cancer and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, I think, he slit his wrist, I remember.
Well, he tried to commit suicide, at one point.
Yeah, and then he got away with it. I mean, got cured. It's the only way for the demon to come to him to claim him, but not really.
I can't remember.
Anyway. Sorry, guys. It's a very long Constantine conversation. Sorry. We should really minimize this. We should summarize this. Okay. Anyway, let's go to events. Let's go to events now. So, Hibernation 20. Wow, 20 years for a bear run. Mm-hmm. How many years has the bear watching been?
16.
Wow. It's a long time. Okay, so, of course, just like what American Horror Story is doing, they have a Hibernation Horror Story. It's going to be October 30th, 2014. So St. Louis has long been nicknamed the gateway to the West, and the members of the Show Me Bears invite you all to mark your calendars and join them on October 30th to November 2nd for a Hibernation Horror Story. For a second year, our event coincides with Halloween, and we are embracing the holiday's horror theme in providing you a gateway to fun, friendship, and fraternity. After the past 20 years, Hibernation events have grown from a small local event to a bear run that last year saw about 530 bears. The last time I was there, 2009, it was about 600. I remember. So 130 bears, cubs, and their admirers gathering to party and provide financial support to various St. Louis LGBT charitable organizations. This year, our committee remains committed to keeping our costs low to provide you with the biggest bang for your buck. Hibernation 19 has been a successful event with your help. They were able to raise $15,000 for the charities that they support. So this year we are happy again to be partnering with the Crown Plaza. It's always a Crown Plaza. Mm-hmm. Why?
Maybe they're very gay friendly.
Yeah, I guess they are. Yeah, it's Crown Plaza St. Louis downtown to provide you comfortable, relaxing environment and convenient after hours party. Ooh, that's where I found out about the meditation room. And play location. See, they have a new name for it now. It's a play location now. For those who have attended Hibernation in years past, welcome back. For first-time attendees, come experience a fun-filled weekend of events geared for you to meet burly, bearded men and their fans. More information to come as scheduled events take shape. So go to hibernation.org to register if you guys are interested to go to St. Louis. It'd be great. Now it's time for the gay, the geek, and the bizarre. Okay, should I take the gay?
Right? Yes, you take it.
Okay, so.
Since you're so gay.
Yes, thank you. Elvis wedding chapels in Las Vegas won't let same-sex couples marry anymore. Oh, yeah, they won't let them marry. It's kind of sad. Yeah. So, if you're a gay and planning to have an Elvis-themed wedding, you might want to rethink heading out to Las Vegas. Same-sex marriage is legal now, thanks to a federal court ruling earlier this month. However, some businesses in Las Vegas are not jumping onto the Pride bandwagon, just yet. For same-sex couples looking to relive the hypnotic allure of a Britney Spears Oopsie Daisy wedding in 2004. Getting married at one of Las Vegas's famed Elvis-themed chapels might not be possible thanks to raging homophobia bullshit. So according to 8 News Now, some Elvis chapels in the Sin City are too worried about Jesus to marry you. So I don't get the point. Why do you do that? It's money for them, right? That's what they're after.
No, it's anymore, about right? Jesus.
It's about Jesus?
Yes.
Right. So Dolly
DeLeon, they marry so many people that are drunk and come in there and get married, and then next day they get divorced.
Yep. And then when they do that, but then a totally committed couple coming in just want to have an Elvis-themed wedding, they can't because they're gay. Okay.
But that's fine. I'm sure some gay Elvis-themed church will open up.
Well, I'm sure there are. So Dolly DeLeon, the owner of the Vegas Wed Chapel, says she's a born-again believer in Jesus. Right, okay. So my faith won't allow me. DeLeon said, must be Filipina. Sounds Filipina. She said she's been asked to wed same-sex couples before, but has found that mostly people accept it when she says no. Oh, okay. Then just move on to the next chapel, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, she did not know that a couple who is turned away based on race, sex, or sexual orientation could file charges against her. Yeah. That could then lead to a misdemeanor arrest. I would be a hypocrite if I said I'm a Bible-believing person, and yet I would perform marriage that I believe is solely against God's law, DeLeon said. Feel free to be a drunk tourist and a stripper you met 20 minutes ago, but don't you dare besmirch the sanctity of marriage by trying to get married to someone you actually love who happens to be the same gender as you. Of course not. Not every Elvis-themed chapel in Vegas is refusing to marry same-sex couples, but still, you know, you can't just slap the name of the king of rock and roll on your venue who love to dabble in all kinds of non-Jesus-friendly shit. And then pretend to take some moral high ground. Exactly.
Well, here's the deal. She's not running a church. She's running a business.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, if she switched it over to a church, it'd be a different story. But she's not running a church. She's running a business.
Yep.
If you're running a business, you cannot discriminate.
Yeah. If it's a church, I guess it would be, right?
Yeah.
No, you can't still. Anyway, so I hope you don't get any more business. Mrs. DeLeon.
There are other churches to go to.
There are other churches to go to for gay people.
Let the heterosexuals have their heterosexual churches, and we'll let the gays have their gay churches.
Yep.
Because ours would be more fabulous. So, anyway, on to the geek.
No, I like this a lot because
this made my heart pity patter a little bit, being a child of the 80s. The hoverboard is finally real. The future neck top. Technology from Robert Zemeckis' legendary film Back to the Future seemed impossible in 1989, but a new Kickstarter campaign wants to make at least part of it a reality. The Hendo hoverboard was created by Jill and Greg Henderson, a California couple who hoped to put their hover technology in the hands of developers by July of 2015. It will come in the form of a white box with hoverboards following a few months later.
Really?
The writer of Gigaom took the hoverboard for a spin. She says the experience was like standing on a giant air hockey puck hovering 3/4 inch above the ground. There's one big catch with the technology. The hoverboard can only be used on a non-ferrous metal surface, so you can just take it for a spin at your local skate park, and steering's also an issue, according to Engadget. However, Hendo readily admits that perfecting the hoverboard will take a little more time and resources. What you see in the video above is just a proof of concept, a precursor to what the creators hope to build. Even if we don't see kids hoverboarding everywhere in a couple years, the technology, which consists of hover engines to create a magnetic field and battery cells, could have other interesting applications. Hendo is offering it to everyone in the form of a white box developer kit, enabling anyone to create hovering objects with ease.
Oh, that's right. It doesn't have to be a hoverboard. It's a proof of concept that you can do it on, let's say, a dolly.
Yeah.
or something, you know. Yeah.
If the Kickstarter reaches its funding goal of $250,000 by its deadline of December 15th, the first round of Hendo hoverboards will be available on October 21st of next year.
That'd be exciting because, you know, you kind of really relive the days of
screw the hoverboard. I want my speeder.
Oh, you want speeder, Star Wars speeder. Yes. Okay. Yeah, why not?
My hover car.
Your hover car. Yeah, you won't get a flat tire.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So. You just need a lot of power, though. But it's supposed to.
Well, did you
float.
See the post on the new fusion engines that Boeing's developed?
No, I haven't seen.
You should go look that up because that was quite interesting.
But you know, with these hoverboards, they're practically strong fans underneath or something.
No, it's a magnet.
It's a magnet.
It's a super magnet.
It's a super magnet.
So it creates an electromagnetic field which keeps you floating. Just like,
but then you can't do it on the ground because it's not.
No, well, that's what they said. You have to have a non-ferrous material up under you, like a metal or something that the hoverboard can use to repel against. It's kind of like the magnetic trains that they keep pushing about. This might be one step closer to getting it there.
See, if you have that, that'd be awesome. But then you need something. You need something that rolls underneath the purpose.
No.
You need to have a metal plate that's on rollers underneath, so you could float on top of it and move around.
Well,
but then that defeats the purpose of having.
If you get enough people looking at it, somebody will figure it out, which is why they're doing the white box thing.
Ah, okay, interesting. So. It's a proof of concept. Okay, let's go to Bizarre. I've seen this a lot online, and the pictures that I've seen, it's really. You know, it's like a Barbie doll.
It's kind of like
it's like a Ken.
And he's your kind of man.
Yeah, he's kind of a man, but then he doesn't have anything down there. Okay, so man explains why he cut off his penis. A man who goes by the name of Gelding recently opened up about why he decided to cut his penis. Oh, and testicles off. Oh, and become a nullo. Nullo is a term for... If you're neutered, I guess. You're practically neutered.
Yeah.
Well, neutered would have no balls.
Yeah, that is a man who has removed his sex organs. That's what they're called, a nullo. Like a eunuch.
Nullo?
Like a eunuch, somebody's had their balls removed.
Yeah. So if you have
penis,
a nullo.
You've had it all removed.
Okay. So that is a man who has removed his sex organ. So you can see a not safe for work photo of Gelding at the bottom of this story. The average person of both sex will think I'm unbalanced, Gelding told the Huffington Post in an email. Oh, this is an email interview? That's lame. That's their layman knee-jerk reaction. Before he was able to get his penis removed, Gelding said he had to have several consultations with a doctor. In my case, my psychologist took me through a number of long dialogue sessions and a full battery of personality tests to develop a formal profile, Gelding said. So his finding was that I'd be a better off in a whole person view after having my penis removed. Ooh. What are you going to play around with then? He's going to be a power bottom then.
I think he's already a power bottom. Your penis will just get in the way.
Oh, really? That was sufficient to sway a urologist to agree to the procedure. More harm would result in the long term from not doing the procedure than doing it. In an interview with Gawker, so he's been around, Gawker and... everywhere else. So Gelding explains that people often misunderstand about nullos, that what the advantages and drawbacks are of joining this club. Oh my God, he's going to start a trend? Strength of guys with no dicks and balls? Maybe.
Whatever floats your boat.
No, I'm not going
to touch your mind.
I'm not going to join that club. On why he did.
God says you got cancer and one of them's got to go.
So I had a baby face in high school. That's what he said. There was one of these bullies, and he said, "You have a man's equipment, but you're still a boy." And he squeezed he squeezed my balls in the shower. He was on the football team. I was on the soccer team, showering together. And he said, "You shouldn't have such big equipment." So he squeezed my balls, and at that point, it was just a fantasy for me. What? So how about getting rid of them for some reason?
I don't know, some guys fantasize about other guys squeezing their balls in the shower when they're in high school.
Really?
Yes.
Is that how you felt?
No. Well, no, but I mean, the fact that some other guy's touching you, if you're gay and you're in high school and you're closeted, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So one of the most obvious cons is I have to sit to pee. Yeah, that's the problem, yeah. Or I have to use one of these female urination devices. Oh, I know that. The one that you put in front of you. Yeah. It's an odd funnel. Yeah. Shaped device that you can use if there's a man's urinal. Also, sometimes I get urinary tract infections. There's a shorter path to the bladder, though, through what I've got now. So I've got to be careful. Keeping it clean. Gosh, mm-hmm. Yeah. You get UTI now all the time. So on the benefits. There's a benefit for this, yes. All right?
He's in a better mood.
Yeah. My mood was improved dramatically since going Nulo. I don't miss the baggage. I don't miss the fact that I get into sex with a guy. He expects me to perform in some ways. Now he doesn't have that expectation. In fact, quite a few guys find it very arousing that they don't have to have that distraction. Oh.
Well, when I read that, here's what popped into my mind from his comment earlier about the guy making that he shouldn't have equipment that big.
Yeah.
That he was well endowed.
Yeah.
And because he was a bottom, everybody wanted him to top because he had a big dick.
Yeah.
So, and that fucked with him because he wanted to be a power
bottom. Wait, he's a power bottom, but he has got a big dick.
Well, that's common. A lot of bottoms are well endowed, it seems.
So you, for you to become a total power bottom, you cut off the distraction.
Yes.
Wow. So. That's a big commitment. Can't you just wear a jock strap to hide it?
Still must get in the way.
No. Okay. So, SF Weekly previously described Gelding as a legendary figure in the eunuch subculture. He's a legend. Where he acts as kind of a den of mother for genitally obsessed someone to whom a man can turn when he decides the cojones needed to go. This was back in 2000, before Gelding had his penis removed in 2011. Oh, yeah. It took him 11 years to decide that. As for what he did, Gelding told Gawker it was ultimately sparked by a sports injury. Oh, okay. Maybe it's really useless then. But that he had thought about having it cut off before. For whatever reason, I was always embarrassed by the size of what I had. It didn't fit my personality. So he really did have a big dick.
That's the way I'm taking it.
And it did not fit his...
Where most guys have an issue about size of being too small, apparently his was too big.
It's too big, so you cut it off. Wow. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Gelding has also worked as a cutter, someone who castrates men looking to part with their testicles. Oh, he participates in that too? One of the reasons why I'm doing this to help other guys avoid the problems, Gelding told SF Weekly. In that respect, it is humanitarian. Mutilation is humanitarian? In another aspect, I will admit to certain amount of sexual excitement from the whole idea. Others have opined on the positives of... On the positives of voluntary castration. In his book, Castration, The Advantages and Disadvantages, author Victor Cheney asserts that the surgery can increase life expectancy by 13 years and improve the immune system. Mm-hmm. Just like dogs, right? But dogs get neutered and they don't become crazy.
It keeps the it keeps the hormones from being developed and stuff. So they grow up and they're still kind of puppyish, but... Yeah, it does help extend life. It does help have certain health benefits, and it keeps them from a rabid pet overpopulation.
Yeah. So. Okay. So Shaney, according to the book's Amazon product description, is a retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel who spent 25 years researching the surgery and had it done on himself after he contracted prostate cancer. Yeah, so there's an image that we will not post, but we'll probably put a link on the article. He is a big Bubba Bear. It's just that he doesn't have a dick and he's like a Ken doll. Mm-hmm. It's like a hairy Ken doll. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I don't know. So he's a total bottom. I don't know. So he's now a slit there to pee.
Just a place to pee, yeah.
Wow.
Kind of like a small vagina.
So what happens now is there's no, you can't stimulate him that way anymore. There's no more.
If it had it turned into a vagina, you could have, because then they just take the nerve endings on the head of the penis and flip them inside.
Yeah, and you should have just at least done that.
Maybe he just didn't want anything there.
Like I said, it is a distraction.
Yeah.
It's a distraction. Wow. How could anyone say that their dicks are a distraction? Anyway, that's just me. Anyway, so let's move on. Actually, this is the video that I was talking to Ray about earlier. And I got this from Distorted View, actually. I don't know if you guys are into furries, or I posted this on Facebook, so I'll see. Let's just reach the chorus. I'm down here, here, you're up there, don't pay me any attention. I fold my ears, here, face my fears, here, think you are too good for me. If you like it, then you should have put a leash on it. If you like it, then you should have put a leash on it. Don't be mad once you see that they want it. Because if you like it, then you should have put a leash on it. Okay, I just gotta stop there because it's, when I first heard it, it's really pretty funny. But then, you know, it's really I find it ridiculous. But it's funny a little bit. But, you know, it's about single furries. I'll put the links on the website, this link on the website for you guys to check out. I posted it on Facebook. I don't know if anyone already said anything about it. Let me see if people liked it already.
And if you're a furry in Houston and want to be on the show, let us know. We have a furry party on the show.
Mark from the Under Bears podcast said, some queen spent a lot of time on this. Which is true. I mean, yeah, it's black and white. There's these three guys in furry costumes, and they were dancing to this tune. So,
Mark's just jealous because they didn't put a collar on him.
Oh, did he? So, I think Paul should put a leash on him if he likes him too much. Yeah, so, I'll put the links on the website so you guys check out the videos and everything. And I guess I can put the article where the Nullo guy, he's a hot bear. It's just that he doesn't have any testicles. He's got, you know, a goatee and everything, tattooed, and then he doesn't have genitals. Yeah, that's the problem, though. You really have to sit. You have to sit down when you pee. I have a question about guys who have big dicks. He obviously has a big dick.
Do people? What would you like to know, Maynard?
No, you're just bragging, right? Do you think that guys with long dicks have problems peeing? Sorry, have problems, you know, when they're pooping, that it's so long that it dips in the water.
Oh, it's that cold ceramic. Yes, that is an issue.
That happens. Is that really? Is that really a joke?
Happens, yes. If you're sitting down and your balls, if you got big balls and they hit that porcelain or cold water, especially in a public bathroom.
That happens really?
Yes.
I would imagine the balls, if you guys have, you know, low hangers, right? You know, that when people say their balls reach their knees, that's going to be a big problem.
Maybe when you're standing at a urinal sometime, they're too tall.
They're too tall?
Too high up.
Too high up, okay.
Yeah, so usually if guys are big dicks, I usually go to the one that's for the handicap, that's lower down, or kids. The one that's handicapped kid level.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I mean, it's just, I'm curious, dude. If you have a long dick, does it dip into the water? Does it happen? I don't know. I read an article. There are 21 disadvantages of having a big dick. I mean, people just make things up anyway. So that's it. That's our show. What are you planning this weekend?
Another Halloween party, going to Dallas, and coming back Monday.
Good for you. I'll be in California.
Yes.
I'll be visiting my mom. We'll be celebrating her 80th birthday. So I'm going to be there with family. I wish, you know, one of these days, I got to go to San Francisco, not seeing family, but Mike and I can just go and we could enjoy seeing other friends because when I'm there, it's always family. And I cannot see my friends because, you know.
Well, you know, you can go take time out to go see your friends and tell your family, hey, I'm going to see some friends. I'll be back after a while.
Well, yeah, but it's just that, you know, when you visit family, you have to kind of maximize your time with them because you don't really see them.
You can set aside so much time for them and say, look, I'm going to be at this place by this time, if you want to see me, I got a schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've done that before. Oh, I did that before I visited my family there. And then my flight was really at 6 p.m., but I said my flight was at noon. So, okay, bye everyone. I left around 11, but then I ended up going to IBR. It was IBR weekend. That weekend, when was it? 2008, 2009? When did the MacBook came out? Yeah, 2000. My MacBook, when I got my MacBook. So it's around 2008. Yeah, I went to IBR 2008, I believe. And yeah, that's what I did. I told my family.
See, that's all you got to do. There you go.
Yeah, my flight is at noon. I have to go. And I had a car rental and drove to, what's the bar? Holiday Inn? It was the Holiday Inn back then at IBR. And that's when the MacBook Air came out. The first MacBook Air came out. So I remember that. It must be 2009. It's been a long time. Anyway, so that's it, everyone, for the show. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or if you'd like to leave a voicemail or your opinion on one of the articles we've given today, give us a call and leave us a voice message on the show at 222-206-2327.
Wrong number.
206 what?
It's 206-222.
Oh, I've got it flipped.
Okay.
Okay. The right number is 206-222-2327. Or that's 206-222-BEAR. God, see, shut up. Shut up.
Love you, Ray.
Jesus.
You mixed the number. Oh, my God.
I am dyslexic. I flip stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You had the notes there. You could have looked through them and changed it way before now.
I didn't read the. Oh, my God. You mixed the numbers.
You should have read the show notes.
Okay.
That's all I got to say.
Okay. Yes. Where was I? Yeah, okay. Subscribe via iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube. You can also listen to the show on Stitcher Radio and where else? Okay. Bear Radio Network. You're making me forget now. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And go to the official website. Yeah, the official website is bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many wolves and many hugs.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear.
Four, five, six, seven. Okay.
If you like it, then you should have put a cock ring on it.
There are some things I just don't need to see. I've seen Dave naked enough. I don't need to see it anymore. Love you, Dave.
Let me see. What the hell was that? Okay. I still can't believe he cut his balls and dick.